You know, if somebody that you don't know comes up to you and strongly or violently pushes you, what do you think your response is going to be? Are you going to instantly push back? Are you going to stand your ground? Or are you going to run away? And nobody wants to think of themselves cowardly or being scared in situations like that. So running away is off the table. Nobody wants to admit that they're just going to run away if something like that happens. You know, as Christians, we aren't supposed to be violent. We aren't supposed to strike back like that. So that leaves us standing our ground. But I'm not really getting to the more important aspect of standing the ground, at least for Christians. And that raises a question that we have to be thinking as Christians if we say we're standing our ground. And the question is, what are we standing our ground for? You know, Peter states, "For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." You know, what we stand our ground for as Christians is critical in the actions we take. You know, we recently, as kind of alluded to in the prayer and even for my title, which is entitled Prepared for Evil, we recently saw Christians pushing back in an extreme way, and in a way that is a growing trend, is in a way that seems to be normal for Christians to act. I've seen an article, I'll quote, says, "After shooting and killing two people, or eventually two people dying, a shooter in a church in White Settlement, Texas, was taken down by parishioners with guns seconds after he began firing Sunday. Those parishioners, who were also volunteer members of the church's security team, are able to carry guns into church due to a law passed by Texas Governor Greg Abbott in response to another deadly church shooting that took the lives of 26 people in 2017. The idea that you should be carrying guns in church, or that you need to carry guns in church, is a new growing trend. Now, I would question, even though this man is obviously demonically influenced, why he would choose Texas of all states. Of all states, that is, and their motto is, you know, of one, you don't mess with Texas. But as that video showed, there were many people, or several people, that jumped up and had guns drawn and went after this man in this church. From a website named Full Armor Church Safety Solutions, and in a title, or in one of their headings, explain their company of how to operate an armed church security team, I'll quote, "Creating safer places for people to freely gather and grow in their faith, to grow in their faith, is essential to our mission and purpose as the church. Although we are blessed to live in a society governed by the rules of law and have access to local emergency service providers, we should never forget that we have a moral and legal obligation to watch over the safety of our congregations. Having people designated and ready to assist the body in time of need should never be considered an option, but a mandate." A mandate, as this, and obviously they're trying to sell their services of being attack teams in, or how to teach churches to arm themselves, but considering this a mandate to carry arms while trying to grow in faith, it seems like a dichotomy when you actually read the Bible and don't put your own interpretations into it. So what is the faith then that Christians should be growing in? Is it faith in that? Is it faith in their guns, in their readiness, their armed security branch of their particular church? I want to follow what Peter started saying in that site, or that example I just cited. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. Maybe look a little closer at what it is that we are to be growing our faith in. First Peter chapter 2, and beginning of verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. That's it right there. That's the basis, that Christ left us an example of what to do. Continuing to verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And that is the key. As examples, as exampled by Christ, as those following after and trying to grow our faith in Christ, it is to put our faith in God. You know, committing ourselves to God and not to ourselves is the value, or is the example that Christ left for us. Even to the point of suffering, excruciating pain, even to the point of being murdered and being gunned down, because Christ left us that example. He was murdered, unjustly persecuted. He was beaten. He went through terrible pain, and it was for a purpose. With all of that, he wasn't justified. What they did to him was not justified, but he was following God's will. And God will judge those that committed those acts righteously. Romans 12 and verse 17. Romans 12 and beginning of verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome, and this is the key, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Allowing ourselves to follow after what the world desires leads us to being overcome by evil. And we can't heap more evil upon evil to fix that. You know, God is keeping a tally. Vengeance is his. We don't have to worry about that. In doing so, in trying to fight this world on its level, will not lead us through temptation. It will not lead us into the promises that are promised, or that are given to those that follow after Christ's example. But instead, it's going to alienate us from God. Romans 8. And beginning in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So these laws that man is enacting, these laws that allow people to more easily carry guns in churches to keep them safe, are not the laws that we should be following. Any who say otherwise are setting themselves up for true calamity, for true suffering, and not by the hands of man, but by the hands of God. Romans 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Men who go against the law of God, men who go against it might be seem right, it might seem good in man's eyes, but in essence enacting these laws that allow to do the opposite of what Christ gave us an example, those things suppress the truth. Those things alienate us and separate us from God. You know, similar to the Pharisee who belittled that tax collector and received only praises from men for all that he did instead of receiving praise from God, those who arm themselves and rely on themselves to live today receive only praise from men. They don't receive praise from God for anything that they do. And because we must be open to that possibility, that horrifying possibility, and have that willingness to follow after Christ as he did, to follow after Christ as he was murdered for what he stood for, to follow all of those examples that Christ left for us. Those are the cards that dealt to anyone that comes before God through Christ. Revelation 6, beginning of verse 9. Because it is written about what we will and might suffer, what those that believe in God and follow after God will suffer in this up in these soon coming days. Revelation 6, beginning in verse 9. When he, and this is speaking of Christ, opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So those people that understood the word of God, that upheld it. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. More will die because of this understanding. More will die living Christ's example, until the end is fulfilled, until Christ does return. People are going to be martyred continuously that don't stand with the world, but that stand for God. But that huge and scary and frightening requirement does not come without a reward. Revelation 20. Revelation 20 and verse 4, speaking again about these martyrs. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. You know, brethren, the permanence of achieving God's praise and sharing in and being part of his family must be the focus that we stand our ground on, ground that we can never back down from, ground that we must always stand up for, even if it means our death, even if it means the horrors and the examples that were left by Christ happen to us. It's with that that we have to keep this promise alive.